You know, that's a great question. So why can't we be friends? Yeah, but now that I think about it, I can think of a lot of reasons why I don't want to be a friend to that person anymore. Well, I'm going to leave the reasons to the good doctor before I dig myself in a deeper hole. Randy, you're my friend, aren't you?
Oh, certainly, Kurt. I'm your friend. We're talking friendship today from Intentional Living. Here's what I believe. You better be intentional with your friendships, because who you hang around with is who you'll become like. And today, live from Intentional Living Center, we ask the question, how do you know when it's time to end a friendship and do so intentionally? That's the question. 888-888-1717. I am Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living. Let's look at a couple biblical perspectives on this. Make sure we've got that straight. In the Proverbs, we get some wisdom. We're reminded in Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Well, the implication there is you become like the people you hang around with. In fact, Paul says that almost exactly in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So we do become like who we hang around with, don't we? It's interesting. Isn't it interesting? We always look at others and say they're a bad friend, or our kids need to have better friends. I wonder how many people will look at us, our kids, say the same thing. Just a thought. I'd love your perspective on this today. 888-888-1717. All right, let me give you some warning signs to watch for as you think over your friendships, whether you're healthy or unhealthy in that relationship. You ready? You know you got a problem when you start using your caller ID as a friendship early warning system. You see the number and say, oh, no, not again. Or how about this one? Given a choice today, you wouldn't pick that same person to be your friend once again. You're kind of there, and it's kind of maybe lifelong even, or for a long time, but if you had to do it all over again, they wouldn't be a friend. How about this one? You feel drained after spending time together, or you feel obligated to spend time with them, or you feel controlled by them, or used by them. Or you find yourself just sort of quietly starting to pull away from them. Or you're losing respect for them. Or trust is gone. Or you wake up one day and you realize, you know, we're just not on the same page. Our values are no longer the same. We're not heading the same direction. You know what? Somebody's outgrown somebody. That's what I find. Some people outgrow other people, emotionally, spiritually, otherwise. And that's okay. By the way, I'm not making a judgment call here that, you know, that one person is, quote, better than another person. We're all sinners in God's eyes. But there's a unique definition to friendship. And it was a number, I don't know, several years ago that I sat down and I wrote this definition of friendship. A friendship is a growing relationship. And listen to the words carefully. A growing relationship that is built upon love, honesty, trust, mutual respect, shared interests and values between two equally mature people. Boy, underline that. Who have no hidden agendas and no control one over another. Because if you do, you're talking about other kinds of relationships. Ministry relationship, boss-employee relationship, neighborhood relationship. You know, there's lots of relationships that have things that wouldn't qualify as a friendship. There's something unique about a friendship. So how do you know when one comes to an end, or should come to an end, or did come to an end? Maybe you were on the receiving end and didn't expect it. 888-888-1717.
I am 52, and I've known my friend since high school. When we met, I was not saved yet, and her dad was a pastor and had a lot to do with me finding the Lord. And through our journey over the years, I kept growing towards the Lord. And as this walk kept going, she kind of was going away from the Lord. And about a year ago, I came to that decision where my obedience, my husband's been ordained a pastor several years ago, and I just wanted to be obedient to the Lord. And so through many changes and decisions in my life, I had to sever that friendship. And it was honestly the hardest thing I've ever done. Now I miss her. I love her very much. I pray for her pretty much every day. And I just pray that the Lord will get a hold of her heart. She has the basics. She has the roots. She has the knowledge. But she is friends with the world in every aspect of her life. And it was very hard, and I had to be very strong. It was through the Lord and the Holy Spirit and my husband's support and just my relationship with the Lord that kept me and has kept me strong, and I'm not going to compromise.
Good for you. Thank you for sharing your story. Today on Friendship, how to be intentional in your friendship. This is something that I believe. I believe that not every person should have permission to be in my life or in your life. Sometimes it's because they're not good for you or for me. They're not positive. They're not going to build me up. We don't have the definition of friendship I just gave working, or you aren't good for them. Keep in mind, it may be that a friendship needs to end because, frankly, if you're mature enough to say, hey, you know, I'm just not a positive influence in this person's life. I'm not building them up. I'm not in a position where I can be a good friend to them. That takes real maturity, doesn't it? Okay, Marcel is in Michigan and joins us first today on Intentional Living. Hi, Marcel.
Hi, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate your call. What's your take on this friendship topic?
Well, 3 years ago, I developed breast cancer, and I have had a best friend, and she has always been a negative person, but it was something that we always dealt with. We just kind of overlooked it. And then when I
How did you do that? How did you overlook it? You just kind of worked around it, or what'd you do?
We did. We just, if she said something negative, we just kind of moved on.
Yeah.
And there were six of us that pretty much hung together. And these were all church ladies, or we're all church ladies, mm-hmm. actually. And when I got the cancer, I needed to have positive people around me. And so gradually I just, like you said, I watched the phone, and if it was her, I tended to not answer it, and I tended to not return calls.
And then you're kind of feeling guilty about that, right?
Absolutely. So eventually I explained to her what the problem was, and she said, well, I'll try and be more positive. But it was just not her nature. She would fall back into old habits, and gradually, we became acquaintances rather than best friends, which made me sad, but it was necessary for my sanity.
Yeah. You think it ended well? Did it end well?
I think so. We still do things together, the six of us, once in a long while, but it's not the way it used to be at all.
You're in a different place now, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. I am. I think trying to be positive has made me a much more positive person, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
And she has kind of stayed behind, and she had a surgery of her own, not of cancer, but that radically changed her life, and I think it made her very bitter, so she's actually worse than she used to be. So I've had to almost eliminate her from my life, and that's been a very difficult decision.
Sure.
But again, it's something that has made my life better. I've had four surgeries in the last 3 years, and I just needed to stay up.
Yeah. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm almost recovered from the last surgery, and my frustration level has gone down quite a bit, and so my family has been very supportive, and so I've been working my way through it, and gradually I'll be fine another couple months,
I think. We'll invite listeners to pray for you. Marcel in Michigan, pray for her today. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Marcel.
Appreciate it. Thank you,
Appreciate
Dr. Randy.
You know, I think she points out an important thing. You know, life is filled with enough negativity and criticism, the picking and the pointing and the correcting and all the things that we can do, and friendships can be so destructive. We ask the question, how do you know when it's time to end a friendship? Mindy says on Facebook, when the friendship is not honoring God, or when I'm not honoring God, when I'm with that friend. Holly said, I ended a friendship because she had no fruit in her life. She claimed with her mouth she was one thing, but I didn't see any change in her life over a long period of time. Then I came by a scripture that said that we know people by their fruit, Matthew 7:16. And Helen sort of agrees with what we just heard from Marcel. She says, if a friend is always negative, as a Christian, I believe God expects us to be positive. And I would add, I would personally add, you have to be truthful, and you have to be at times lovingly confrontive in a friendship, by the way. Doesn't always mean we agree, but certainly not negative. The light of his love should shine from us at least most of the time. After all, we know he's got our back. Very good. Well, what do you take on this friendship thing? 888-888-1717.
I believe, as Ecclesiastes chapter 3 speaks, that there's a time and a season for everything, even including people that are in your life. Some people, I do believe, God allowed them to come in your life for a season to help you get to maybe the next level of your life. And he sends people into your life so you can help them get to the next level or transition to a different place in life. Then there are people that come in your life for a lifetime. We just have to be able to deal with the loss of some, because some people just aren't supposed to be in your life forever.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, we change over time. And as we do, we have to evaluate friendship. Again, let me be clear, because I always get people trying to beat me up after a program like this, that as Christians, you know, our goal is to be a friend. No, our goal at some times is to be a person who speaks the truth in love, to have a ministry for a person, to minister to a person, to uplift them. But if we don't define the nature of our relationships, we get confused. A marriage relationship is a very unique, powerful, intimate relationship. It's beyond friendship. It certainly is that. But even beyond that, we have friendships at different levels, you know, the more intimate friends and the casual friends. But we impact each other more on the basis of equality, shared values, and so on. But then there are people that we're going to minister to. There's people that we want to love on and care for. And that is different than a friendship. We have to know what the definition of the friendship. Keep this in mind. Anything during this half hour you miss, don't miss this. The weakest person in a relationship always controls the relationship. If you feel controlled in some relationship, keep in mind it's because of weakness on the part of somebody. Okay, Ann's on the line. Welcome to the program, Ann. Appreciate your call today.
Good morning.
What's your take on friendship today?
Oh, I've had a incident very recently, a very long friendship that dissolved because of me attending a facility that I was, I guess, not supposed to be going to. We work out together. We're workout partners.
Uh-huh.
And so she was unable to go to this studio for a while. She told me that it was a place where she meditated and enjoyed going because we would hike or spin together. And I respected her boundaries. Everybody needs a place to decompress.
Mm-hmm.
And I had other friends that wanted to try this other studio. There was a Groupon. So I went along with them. And I let my friend know that, you know, hey, I went with a group of friends to this place. We had a nice time. And it ended the friendship because I wasn't allowed to enter the building.
Wow.
It took me totally off guard. We've been friends for such a very long time.
What do you mean you couldn't enter the building?
I wasn't supposed to go to this studio to work out that she attended because she had told me prior that this is where she went to meditate and decompress. So I wasn't even allowed to use the business because she used it.
Wow. That's very strange. Very, very strange. So your friendship's over now?
Yes. Text messaging, it became very nasty, very bullying.
Yeah.
She started swearing at me, and I was trying to break it down as plainly as I possibly could, why I went, that there was a Groupon. We went with a friend. In no way would I ever invade her personal space. I stayed away from many class times or instructors that she liked, and she wasn't even going for that. About 2.5 month period.
So you were on the receiving side of this break,
yeah.
In this friendship, and you know sometimes it'd be nice to know why, And I think it raises a question, and in your case, it'd be nice if she just sit down and really lay out. Maybe there's something else going on between the two of you, but clearly this is a conditional friendship. And sometimes friendships are based on conditions. If you do this, I'll be your friend. If you don't, I won't. And that's sort of a weakened definition of friendship. It's based on conditions. Let's face it, some of our acquaintances are based on certain conditions. Maybe it's built around a hobby that we share an interest. Maybe it's the fact that we go to church together, but outside of that, we really don't have much else in common. Maybe it's built on you both have children. We find a lot of friendships built around young moms and dads having kids, and you have friendship based around that common interest that changes over time. And so I think it's a constant maintenance to knowing what's going on in the friendship, what's going on in the relationship, the nature of the friendship, making sure you're clear on it. Okay? All right. Thank you, Ann. Appreciate it. Kelly wants me to give the definition of friendship again. I'll get to that in just a moment. Come join us, 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. You know, one of the things that friends do is pray for one another. And one of the great ministries that we have here at the Intentional Living Center is our prayer community. We have people from literally all around the world who pray for each other. So if you need prayer or if you want to pray for others, join today at theintentionallife.com/prayer. Dr. Randy's got more on friendships and expiration dates. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Holiday travel plans, gift lists, church pageant practice, Christmas sugar cookies, and peanut butter fudge. Oh my. These are all good things, but they all mean one thing. Christmas out of control.
You've lived through Christmas on autopilot for years. This time, let's take a new direction. When you make your gift this month to the Intentional Living Center, ask for the new gift book, Made to Thrive at Christmas. Scripture, fresh, meaningful traditions, and intentional ways to enrich your relationships. Celebrate a Christ-centered Christmas. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com to make your gift this month and ask for the book, Made to Thrive at Christmas. Our gift to you this month from the Intentional Living Center.
People talk to Dr. Carlson on Intentional Living every day, but they're also interacting with the program staff and our Facebook family. Go to Facebook/Intentional Living and see comments and discussions about the program from some of our most passionate fans. Leave your comment at Facebook/Intentional Living. You can also talk to us directly through our comment line. Call 888-888-1717 and tell us what's on your mind at Intentional Living.
Our lines are still open for your calls at 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy.
Thank you, Kurt. The Bible says bad company corrupts good character. Do you buy that? I do. I think it's pretty obvious. How many of us as parents have said, oh, I wish my kids would hang around with better friends? I always chuckle because I wonder if that same discussion goes on in the homes of your kids' friends. Think about that. Today, why can't we be friends? I think friendship does have an expiration date. And if you're not intentional, I think the key here, if you're not intentional in your friendship and maintenance of your friendships and managing and loving and caring for your friends in a way that you understand the nature of those relationships, you can get in trouble. It kind of builds up over time. More questions, comments here in just a minute.
This is Steve Tanner with an Intentional Citizen update. One of the statistics we'll see on election night next Tuesday is how many people actually cast a vote in this election. 4 years ago, barely half of American Christians bothered to vote. So why should we vote? Here's Kathy Herod, a family policy advocate and president of Center for Arizona Policy.
If we do not vote, we're giving our vote to someone else. Oftentimes, that other person is not going to share our values. If we stay silent, then we have no right to complain about anything that's going on in our country. But as believers, we have an obligation. People died for our freedom. Through war after war, soldiers died for our freedom. The least we can do is appreciate that freedom by voting.
We have information and links to helpful voter resources up on our highlights page at theintentionallife.com. Exercise your rights as an American and your privilege as an intentional citizen and a child of God, and vote. For Intentional Living, I'm Steve Tanner.
All right. Thank you, Steve. And Kathy, thank you very, very that's a great reminder. And I hope that you, if you haven't voted already, in if you have a mail-in ballot or you can vote early, you do so, or certainly vote in your area. Know the issues. Because as Rob just says, some friendships will end next Tuesday. Of course, if you watch some of these political ads on TV, they don't look like very friendly. Are you getting as tired of that as I am? I think we can do better in our country. And I know it's a part of the political game that's played, but I think we'll all be glad to see next Tuesday come. But do vote, because it matters. It really does. Okay, today we're focusing on friendship. Let's get Kelly on the line here from Florida. Kelly, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you, Randy.
Appreciate
Good
it.
To be here today.
Thank you. What was your question for me?
I apologize. I don't know what time you started your talk on friendship, but I just tuned in about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And you said something about the unique friendship, and just before that you were talking about your values may not be the same,
right,
either emotionally or spiritually. Mm-hmm. And then you said a key phrase that I didn't get the whole thing. Growing relationships were built on love and honesty.
Oh, my definition. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And you ended with no hidden agendas.
Right.
And I think that's very important. And, from my experiences with friendships, the burning question, I think, with most of the men that I've had friendships with over the years is just, when do you say enough is enough?
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the hidden agendas you've seen?
I'm not saying for me personally. I'm just.
What are some of the things you're in general concerned about? Like hidden agendas on either business or political or whatever. There's some sort of a hidden agenda for the friendship.
Well, and that ties into exactly what you were saying earlier about political. You know, this is the least favorite time of the year for me because you know we can see the gas prices going down and everything, and there's a hidden agenda in that itself.
Well, I think so often in friendships, Kelly, the key to me is we're going to have friendships. Sometimes they're going to have an agenda, and we just need to know that up front. Sometimes it's a time-limited friendship, you know, because of raising kids or a hobby that you have in common or, you know, some challenge, or even it could be around some political thing that you're working on together. But a true friendship, I'll just read the definition here, a true friendship, a friendship that is intended to be lasting and someone you go to for as a confidant to share your heart. And here's what I wrote down. I said a friendship is a growing relationship that is built upon love, honesty, trust, mutual respect, shared interests and values between two equally mature people, that's critical, who have no hidden agendas or have control over one another. And I know there's a lot of moving pieces there in that friendship, but at the end of the day, friendship is a unique definition, and it is more exclusive and I think different than some of the so-called friendships that we see today in people's lives. All right. Well, thank
Absolutely.
You. Appreciate it, Kelly. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right. Jennifer is on the line. Hi there. Hi,
Hello?
Jennifer. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go right ahead.
Good. Well, I have to make a couple of comments. I've disagreed with much of what you said today, and I do agree with that one woman that said that friendships are seasons. And
What do you primarily disagree with?
I think as Christians, we're not all perfect, and in my mind, I'm thinking that friendships are more fluid and there are times that we need to be more strong for some of our friends
mm-hmm.
that may be
sure.
faltering, and they, in turn, can be strong for us at other times
mm-hmm.
and to sever certain friendships because of weaknesses or whatever it is. I mean, I'm glad that some of my friends have stood by me over the years, And I would have been very sad if they would have severed a friendship with me due to anything that they thought I wasn't being a good enough Christian or good enough for singing the word or not going to church enough or not being in small groups. So I think that I understand what you're saying, that friendships are defined by certain parameters, but it's different to be a friend. Yeah. And I think that we can be friends to people that are in us. And I think that's more like Christ.
Yeah. Well, I think, Jennifer, the bottom line to me on this thing of friendship, if we're talking about an intimate relationship that's a trusting relationship with another person, obviously we go through tough times. We don't abandon our family when things get tough. I'm not talking about abandoning people. What I'm saying is when we have a relationship with a person that's an intimate friendship and we find ourselves walking around in eggshells and they're trying to control us and we're losing respect and we find out that there's problems in their lifestyle and their values, we better change the definition from friendship to ministry, that we're going to care for this person, love this person. But I think friendship has a very unique definition. Beginnings are kind of the fun part of life, I think. You think about it, the beginning of a new project, there's a lot of motivation, there's a lot of excitement, a lot of passion. There's a lot, it's scary too, because the unknown when you begin anything. The middle, you know, the middle of anything is messy. Ever notice the messiest part of a project is right in the middle? The beginning, you're getting all your tools together, you're getting your plans together, you're getting all the pieces together and you're excited, then you get in the middle of a project and it gets really messy. And then the ending is always kind of a unique time too, because if you've done the middle right and the beginning right, the ending tends to be a little better.
Yeah, it tends to be. That's an excerpt from the teaching this month and next month on the decades of life. We got something really cool, though, I want to present to you today. In fact, Dawn is here in the room with me today.
Yes.
Dawn, Christmas is coming. I can't believe it.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I am too. It's always an exciting time of the year, except for me, I'm born on Christmas Day, so I get 1 year older. Other than that, but we got something really cool. We want to get into the hands of everybody who listens to Intentional Living, who appreciates the message, and would stand with us in financial support. Tell us about it.
You know, you hear Dr. Randy talk about thriving and how God made you to thrive. In fact, he's taught on the subject before. Well, we put together, uniquely from the Intentional Living Center, a book, a gift book called Made to Thrive at Christmas, specifically designed to get you on track for the best Christmas ever. It's got relationship helps in there, short teachings, devotional thoughts, inspirations. It's got comments from our listeners, just a unique collection all put together for you. Let us know that you'd like to receive that book with our thanks when you make a gift today at theintentionallife.com or when you call us at 888-888-1717.
It's really a cool resource for you.
I love it.
As Dawn mentioned, it's a kind of book you'll sit down and as you read it, you read a page, make you think, there's scripture, and the next page will give you a thought, and then there's going to be quotes and just kind of a cool thing. Made to Thrive at Christmas, our gift to you. And when you share a gift today, ask for it, right?
That's right. That's
Go
right.
to theintentionallife.com. We'll see you next time right here from the Intentional Living Center.